just got called up to the big league, son. Welcome to the show. This is Schemann and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN, online at 99.3ESPN.com.
Hello, everybody. It is the 4 o'clock hour, 2 hours down, two to go here on a Friday, getting you into your weekend. I am Craig Schemann, along with Pete Shepherd, on Southwest Florida Sports Leader, 99.3 ESPN. All the football world is just kind of taking a deep breath after the Browns won their first game since December of 2016, beating the Jets. Got two rookie quarterbacks going at it. Of course, Baker Mayfield making his debut with the final minute 42 of the first half and played all the second half and was lights out phenomenal. Let the legend begin. Sam Darnold, the other rookie quarterback on the other side. We'll see how he does. He's made quite an impact to start the season as well. So a lot of fun we've been talking about all day. But, boys and girls, we got Gabe Morency, our handicapper, at the bottom of the hour right now.
Oh.
It's 4 o'clock on a Friday. You know what that means. All of Southwest Florida, turn up the radio, pull the car over on the side of the road.
Hug your kid.
It's like an FDR fireside chat. It's time for the Schemann and Shepherd Pigskin Picks.
Oh, no.
Whoa. So there's been a flaw.
What happened?
What's going on?
Sorry, it's been like a day since I've played this. My computer, I promise, I pulled up the right video here. Let me get a change real quick. Hold on.
Go ahead. Wait a minute. You got to wait for the banjo.
I do.
Oh, my Lord.
Think it's going to get better at 3-0?
Sucks because this song ends up staying in my head. I end up singing it. I end up catching myself. So did Craig last.
You know, and it catches you at weird times.
Yeah,
like,
that's what
I'll be sitting at the sink doing dishes or something.
I know.
Or making my bed or folding lawn. And then the song, just the catchy little banjo just enters into my brain. And it drives me nuts.
All
right. Let's fire up the real band here. It's time for the pigskin picks.
Yeah.
All right. Quick update. Right now, Pete Shepherd is in the lead at one game below 500 at 11-12.
I know, Shepherd, at the bottom. Is that alphabet? That's not even alphabetical. You just put me at the bottom, even though you guys are 5 games under 500 right now.
Yeah.
Only 2 games behind.
I think that was subconscious. Yeah. We are 9-14. We did not have a good week last week, Chris and I. One of us needs a breakout week to get this. I mean, I need to.
Well, it's only 2-5.
I need a 6-1 week or something like
Could've
that.
Could have been worse.
Could have.
I love this week.
Let's do it. Let's get Pete Shepherd off of the top of the mountain. Let's knock him down. This shouldn't be too tough. We're going to start off with some college football. And we started off Nick Saban hosting Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M going into Tuscaloosa, Alabama. The spread is big. Alabama, a 26-point favorite in this game. I will start the things as the defending champion from last year, and I'm looking at this game. And I know Alabama is the best team in college football, bar none. I know they were better before, and now they're more explosive with Tua as their quarterback. I get it. They're at home. I get it. But I do like this Kellen Mond, this quarterback for Texas A&M. They showed me a little something in their big game against Clemson a couple of weeks ago, even though it was at home in the rain. I still think Alabama's going to win this game, but I don't think by 26 points. I'm not liking the 26, so I will take Texas A&M, boys and girls. Pete Shepherd, what say you?
Well, I like a lot of what you said there. Jimbo Fisher and Clemson, this is a different environment in Alabama. Last year, Texas A&M played them tough, but that was in Alabama. Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, that was in Texas A&M. That was at Texas A&M. Boy, this is probably the toughest game, I think, to call on the board. And Jimbo Fisher getting humiliated by more than 4 touchdowns? I'm not seeing it! I will also take Texas A&M.
Oh, snap!
I think Alabama's going to win by 3 touchdowns. I don't know if they can win by 4 in this one. I think Jimbo will put up just enough of a fight, and maybe a backdoor cover gets this done. I'm taking the points, though, at A&M.
All right.
Plus 26.
Let's bring in the cocky millennial arrogance of Chris and his Alabama Crimson Tide and see how he sees this game coming out. Chris?
Tua Tagovailoa, real quick. Tagovailoa.
Close enough.
Excuse me. I'm just going to read you his third down stats. This is for the entire season.
Third down.
All year long. 13 attempts, 13 completions,
wow.
298 yards, 6 touchdowns, obviously no interceptions. It's a quarterback rating of 444. That's
not even
a real thing.
How about JJ? Jerry Jeudy, right?
I want to see Tua in a full game because I think this Alabama team can score 75 on anyone, and I'm not being facetious when I say that. Like, there's no tongue-in-cheek there.
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody can stop this offense. Go ahead. Load up the box. Tua will pick you apart. Go ahead. Play coverage. We will run the ball straight down your throat and score 25 a quarter that way. Alabama rolls way past the 20s. Wow. You can't lay enough points with Alabama this year.
All right. You're on the board, our first game.
Saban, by the way, 12-0 and against his former assistant coaches.
Moving on, Stanford, the smart guys from the Pac-12, taking on Oregon. It's at Oregon. Stanford is a 2.5-point favorite in this game. I actually think Stanford is going to win this game and handily. They'll cover this 2.5. I don't think Oregon is that good. I do think Stanford is that good. Bryce Love, he's back, right? He's going to start rolling up some yards, getting ready for the Heisman. I will take the Cardinal to cover the 2.5 easily.
There's something rotten in Denmark about this line, and I can't put my thumb on. I don't know what the odds makers. Sometimes they do get it wrong in Vegas. Doesn't happen a lot. But why should I be impressed with Oregon's 58-24 win at home against Bowling Green, a 62-14 win against FCS Portland State, right? And then a 35-22 win over one of the worst teams, might be the worst team in Division I in San Jose State. Why, then, is Stanford, who has, you know, that looks not great against Cal Davis, but they've done what they've had to do so far this year, okay? This team is, besides Washington, this is the only team that has a chance in the Pac-12. They have beaten San Diego State 31-10. They beat USC by 2 touchdowns, 17-3, and they struggled with UC Davis, and they still won by 20 in a ho-hum game. They went comfortably by 10. I got to go with the Stanford Cardinal here. They got to win. How are they only 2.5-point favorites in this game is beyond me.
Well, I'll tell you why, Pete Shepard, because you go and look at the Stanford wins this year. They beat UC Davis and San Diego State. They've allowed 10 points in each. And other than that, they beat USC at home. So this is their first true road test. I know one thing about both teams. One thing about both teams. I know Stanford has a tough time scoring because they don't know how to throw the football.
Yeah,
they can't do it. They have to rely on the run. I know Oregon can score. I don't know what their defense is, but I know Oregon can score. I'm taking the Ducks at home. I think it's a great environment, and I feel like Mario Cristobal is going to start to turn around that and build on what Willie Taggart was able to do at Oregon last year. I'll take the Ducks at home in a great environment.
What color unis are they wearing? Do we know? Are they doing the highlight colors? They're all green. They're doing a chrome. I don't know what they're doing.
Rain for the forecast in Oregon favors Stanford.
You know what? Out of 365 days in the year, there's rain up in Oregon 364 days of the year.
They will be wearing green helmets with a green jersey, with green pants, green socks, and yellow shoes.
Okay. Very good. One more college football game on the board before we switch to the National Football League. Florida, Dan Mullen's crew on the road at Neyland Stadium in Rocky Top, Tennessee. The Gators are 4.5-point favorites on the road. Not so fast. I still don't think the Gators have their act together. They're going on the road. Tennessee did get pounded by West Virginia the last time they played a good team, ranked 12th in the nation. But the Gators aren't ranked 12th in the nation by any means. I actually think this is going to be a pretty close football game. That 4.5 is out there. I'm going to take Tennessee in this one. Does that make me a contrarian? I don't know. Pete Shepard, what say you?
Well, last year, Tennessee should have won. It took a Hail Mary by Felipe Franks, remember, to pull this game out. But I think he's matured a little bit. It's a different offense. I know Pruitt's doing, he's getting there. It's going to be a process with the Volunteers. I agree. I think this comes down to the wire. Ready for this prediction?
Uh-oh, what?
Florida wins and covers in double overtime.
Ooh!
They win by six.
I'm going to have to give you an extra bonus
they
point
win
if
by
it goes
six.
Two OT.
Florida wins and covers in double overtime against Tennessee.
All right, Chris, what say you about this SCC tilt?
It's tough picking games this early, especially like in with Florida-Tennessee. Florida, their two wins. I don't know what to take from Colorado State, who's not very good, and it's Charleston Southern. But on the other hand, Tennessee's two wins are against UTEP and East Tennessee State University, who hasn't been good since Terrell Owens played there. So I don't really know what either team is, but I was impressed by Tennessee in the first half against West Virginia. I know it's a half, but their defense really held up against a good offense that Will Grier leads with West Virginia. I'm scared of the Gators. I'm scared after what I saw with Kentucky. Their only legitimate opponent. They look like the old Gators on offense. I'll take the Vols. I don't know if they win, but I think it's a close game. And if you're giving me 4 points at home, I'll take the Vols.
We're giving you four and
four
a half.
And a half. Four All and right, half. Let's better. Switch gears on to the National Football League. The Raiders coming out east, out at the Rock, to take on Chris's Miami Dolphins. And the Miami Dolphins
felt right hearing you say that, by the way.
What's that?
The Rock.
You liked it? I did that just for you. Miami, a three-point favorite at home in this game, and I will tell you this. Just based on the fact that it's the Raiders, a West Coast team, traveling across the country, early game, that almost never bodes well for the West Coast team. That fact and that fact alone, I will take the Dolphins to win and cover the three. Pete?
Well, here's the thing. I think Mark Davis is creepy. Every time I see him, I cringe. The thing is, Ryan Tannehill has been sacked 5 times in 2 games. He's been hit in the pocket 9 times in 2 games. But that's not going to matter because the Raiders don't get to anybody. They only have 2 sacks in 2 games.
They got rid
they
of the pass
rusher. Praying and lighting candles. That guys like Bruce Irvin and Arden Key, and they shuffle things around a little bit defensively, trying to get any type of pass rush. They're going to be, if they're smart, the Dolphins will wear white. They're probably not.
They
but
are.
Let the Raiders wear black. They should have worn the Raiders wear black at the Rock. Got me saying it now. But they won't. It doesn't matter. Raiders, 5-21 straight up in 1 o'clock games. 5-21.
That's not good.
Tannehill is, I think he's playing pretty well. I love the Dolphins in this spot. I absolutely love them. Miami -3. I'd love it.
All righty.
0-3 Raiders.
I know we're unanimous, most likely, unless Chris is looking at that 3 points. Chris, what say you?
By the way, the Dolphins will be wearing white uniforms.
Oh, yeah. That's
white.
That's smart. Yes, excellent. Let the Raiders wear black.
They will wear white at home against Chicago in week 6 and against Detroit in week 7 as well.
Going to be hot and humid.
The second half of the season, they go to the Aqua Tops.
Smart, smart move. Raiders are going to be dehydrated.
Did you make your pick?
I need to?
Come on. I already wrote down Dolphins for
you. Yeah, so did I. So there you
Moving
go.
Moving on.
Hands up, Dolphins.
To the
and
NFC.
And I will be insufferable next week.
Yeah?
Oh, with the song? Is that going into Pat's week? Are you kidding me?
Is that different?
Okay. I'll be jazzed up.
I'm going to be insufferable. Okay. Just checking. The Saints and the Falcons, an NFC South tilt. The Falcons at home, the Falcons 3-point favorites. I actually think this is the toughest game to pick on our board here today. Don't know which way the Saints are going. They've been a little bit up and down. They lost to the Bucs in a high-scoring game. Had the close game against the Browns. Can't figure them out. They're on the road against the Falcons. We saw the Falcons open up the season against the Eagles. I feel like the Falcons right now at this point of the season are the better football team. Plus, they're at home. I will take the Falcons to win and cover the 3 at home.
They are not the better football team. The only thing they're better at is the injury report. This team is banged up. Their starting safety, Keanu Neal's already out for the year. They lost Deion Jones, one of the better middle linebackers, okay? He's done for 6 weeks. And now Andy LaVithra's on the starting left guard. He's out as well. This is upset special all over it. I love the Saints in this scenario. They're upset with the way they played haphazardly against the Browns last week. New Orleans, +3. They win the game outright.
All right, we're on opposite sides. Chris, split the difference. Which side are you going on? Tough one, isn't it?
It is. It is. Normally in a spot like this, divisional rival, you kind of go back and look at the history. They always play close games.
Yeah.
Yep.
Most of the time, they're high-scoring close games, which makes it even more of a crapshoot as to who's going to win.
Yeah.
Because now it can come down to a missed extra point along the way.
Yep.
Does it go to overtime or not?
Atlanta is 3-1 in the last 4 games.
This is why I don't like picking the most competitive games every week, because I'm staying really far away from this. If I did that sort of thing, hypothetically,
for
if I had a guy.
For entertainment purposes only.
Right. Up. I would not touch this game with a 10-foot pole, but you guys make me do it. I don't like it.
Sorry.
Well, you at least take the over, but we don't have that.
Right, but we don't even get to do that.
Yeah.
I don't. See, these are the games that stink to pick. I don't know what's going to happen.
Flip a coin. These are the games that separate the men from the boys. And the Sheeman and Shepherd pigskin picks.
2-5. I feel terrible about that. And I got to split the difference as well. If you guys agreed, I could just agree with you two and there'd be no big deal here.
Yeah.
I guess I'll take Atlanta. I think that they've been more consistent on defense, but I get the injuries as well, and the Saints were better last year, but I take the Falcons, and I don't want to.
All right. Are you good? You're not going to waffle on me. It didn't sound very, very emphatic.
I reserve the ability to change my pick until Sunday at 1.
No. Not on this show.
Coming up next, we've got the game of the century. The New England Patriots and the evilness of Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and Pete Shepard rolling into Detroit at Ford Field to take on Matt Patricia, Matthew Stafford, and the mighty Detroit Lions, who, by the way, are looking for their first win of the season. New England -7 on the big board. I've been looking at this game since the schedule came out. We have broken this game down numerous times over the last 6 months. I have talked trash. I've been waiting for this one. I've been wanting to rub Pete Shepard's nose in this one on Monday for as long as time can be. However,
I can't do it.
The Lions at this point of the season are a dumpster fire, and it is more important for me to be right than to be happy. I will put my personal happiness aside. There's no way the Lions are winning this game, and the Patriots will win by double figures and cover the 7 points. There, I said it. Pete Shepard, you're up.
Am I going to do it again? Last week, I said Jacksonville, 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 right up until we made our picks at the last second. I went with the Patriots. I had said it from the beginning of the season, without even seeing anybody, that the Patriots would probably start 2-2. They would probably lose to Jacksonville and Detroit. Those would be the losses. I'm really struggling. This is like Anakin trying to go to the dark side. I am struggling with this big time.
Go to the dark side.
A big part of me.
Go to the dark side.
Knows that in my lifetime, the Patriots only, I don't know, 5 or 6 times ever in the Belichick era have lost 2 games in a row. They just don't do it. Brady is pissed the way he played last week, even though it was okay statistically. A big part of me thinks they're going to blow them out, like 42-20. On the other hand, the history comes into play. I mean, Monday Night Football history, where the home underdog, the home underdog, 7 points. That's a lot in the NFL these days. The way the Patriots secondary played last week, I'm sure people are saying, well, if they played that pad against Bortles, then Stafford's going to chew them up. But as I've said time and time again, it doesn't work that way. I don't know why Blake Bortles looks like the second thing since Tom Brady or Joe Montana he's out there. I don't know why. Belichick's 11-4 against his former assistants, two of those being to Mangini.
losses coming to him. One to Josh McDaniels when he's out in Denver. I really want to say Patriots blowout, but I can't do it after what I saw with that secondary last week. I think there's going to be a lot of points in this game, and I think this has got backdoor cover written all over it. And unlike you, Craig Sheeman, who said the Lions had no chance at all from after the first Sam, besides the Sam Darnold picks, I am going to pick the Lions plus 7.
Holy cow!
To get a backdoor cover. Not to win,
right?
To get a backdoor cover.
All right. I don't know if we're voting with our heads or our hearts in this one, but Chris,
my head.
You get to split the difference. How's this game going?
I think Detroit, this is, I don't want to say a good spot for them to win the game, but I think they'll keep it competitive. I think that there's, that this has kind of been a game that's been circled in that organization all summer. I don't know if Patricia's lost the locker room two games into his tenure in Detroit. This is the game to figure it out, though, because if you come out flat this game, then there's a bigger issue here. I think there's enough pride in that locker room. I mean, you've got some veterans who have been a part of some pretty good football teams with Detroit. I don't think they like getting embarrassed. I'm not picking them to win the game, but 7 points at home. I think Matt Stafford can just find Eric Rowe on the field and say, all right, I'm going to go after that guy. And I don't think that the Patriots offense is clicking just yet. So I'm going to take the Lions and the 7 points.
Both of you doing that very cautiously, I noticed.
Well, to me, it's one or the other. It's either going to be like win the spread, or it's not going to be like a 9 or 10, but it's going to be 5-6 points win by the Patriots, or they're going to destroy them. One or the other. I don't think there's any in between.
We have one more game on the docket. Monday Night Football. The mighty Pittsburgh Steelers coming down to the Bay in Tampa and taking on the Buccaneers. The Steelers are 1.5 favorites on this one. I am appalled. I am aghast by that line. I've been singing the praises of Ryan Fitzmagic for 2 years on this show, even though we've only been together for 1.5 years. He's my guy. Going to keep it rolling. I don't think he gets 400 yards and 4 touchdowns, but the Steelers' defense is horrible. 28th in the NFL. The Buccaneers are clicking on all cylinders at home. I say the Buccaneers win on Monday Night Football. Pete Shepard?
I am with you, and the reason, Fitzpatrick's completing nearly 79% of his passes so far. DeSean Jackson has 275 yards and 3 touchdowns. You know how many touchdowns DeSean Jackson had all of last year? 3! Already matched it. Already has matched it. Now, this is going to be an entertaining game. This is a fantasy football, you know what type of dream. I mean, this is it right here. They're going to be going points galore here, but I think the Buccaneers defense is a little bit better right now. They will find a way to make a play. Big Ben is 14-4 on Monday night. Let's not forget that. He is one of the best ever on Monday Night Football. Le'Veon Bell still holding out. Antonio Brown double team last week a lot. Didn't get to do a lot against Kansas City, but that doesn't mean they don't have weapons. Juju Schuster and Jesse James each had
Smith-Schuster
and Jesse James each got more than 100 receiving yards in that game. And Brown's had 18 receptions so far this year, 160 yards and a touchdown, and he's a little bit disgruntled. There'll be points, but I love the Buccaneers in this game, -1.5. They are begging you to take Pittsburgh with that line in Vegas, begging you. And I'm telling you, Buccaneers going to win the game. May only be by 3, but that's good enough for this show.
All right, that sounds good. Chris, close us out.
Do you believe in magic?
Yes,
absolutely. You believe in magic. You believe in the Fitz magic. He's got 2 beers named after him in the Tampa area right now.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston. We're going to get into that.
Yeah, Jameis Winston not getting his job back, not in Tampa at least. Fitz magic keeps it rolling. If I'm doing this with my head, I probably say go Steelers, but I don't care about my head. That thing is stupid. I'm going with my heart.
my head is stupid.
The Buccaneers are going to win this football game on Monday night.
All right, there we have it. We're unanimous on that one. There it is, ladies and gentlemen, the world-famous Sheeman & Shepard Pigskin Picks. All right, now we're going to bring in the expert. Gabe Morenci is going to tell us, you know, how we're wrong or whatever. He's coming up next. He's always entertaining. And, yeah, you're right. We got to find out more about these brews I've been hearing about.
Afterwards. And I wouldn't to Gabe about this. This is a pretty good board, some good card tonight with some, especially, you know, somewhat locally, UCF and FAU. He'll have thoughts on that game.
All that coming up, Sheeman & Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
This is Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN, online at 99.3ESPN.com. Sheeman and Shepard.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. It's one of our favorite parts of Friday, talking to our personal handicapper, Gabe Morenci. You can find him at sportsrage.org and at sportsrage. He is with us right now. I don't know how to introduce him anymore. I mean, he's a handicapper. He's a radio star. He's a TV star, internet sensation, heavy metal musician.
He's a lover, not a fighter.
He's all of the above. He's Gabe Morenci, ladies and gentlemen. Gabe, how are you?
It's always a pleasure, guys, and I appreciate the kind introduction, but I'll remember what my grandfather once told me, may he rest in peace, but he said, it's better to be busy than to be dead. So that's the way I look at it.
No doubt, no doubt. Hey, just before we get into the weekend and the college and the pro, what'd you think of last night? The Browns were favored at home, and they actually did it.
You know, there was something about the game going into the game that you could just tell that it was going to be good. And I use the TV show Three's Company as a comparison. And, you know, I know you guys, we're all old, so I know you guys will remember it. But, you know, one of those shows like the Dukes of Hazzard, the Three's Company, or the Love Boat,
Yeah. It's
just so bad it's good. It's Fantasy Island. Boss, the plane. It's so bad it's good that I just knew that this football game last night would be so bad that it would be good. But I actually bet on the Cleveland Browns because I think that we sort of have it. This isn't the same old Cleveland Browns, although for the love of God, we see it's so hard for them to close out a football game and win the game. I'm going to be honest. Like, I was on the Cleveland Browns. I hit some props last night. We went 3-1. We had four plays. We won three out of the four plays in the football game. But, you know, I've got to call myself out on this and admit that I was one of the jackals in the media that was heckling when they drafted Baker Mayfield when they did, after signing Tyrod Taylor. And, you know, even thinking that maybe it was a little bit of a reach for Baker Mayfield, and one game doesn't make a career, and it was against the New York Jets. But, I mean, come on, that was something special that happened last night. That doesn't happen. I mean, they were down, they came back, or down double digits, they come back, and you just sort of felt that Baker Mayfield was going to lead him to victory. And the thing that impressed me the most about Baker as well, I knew he was accurate. And, you know, I watched all those Oklahoma games, but I sort of thought that they protected him a little bit by rolling him out. He's not very tall. During the Senior Bowl week, he had a lot of passes batted down at the line of scrimmage. So I really, you know, I was like, I'm not sure how he's – and people comparing him to Drew Brees, I thought, wow, that's a little bit of a stretch. But, guys – you know, you both watched football a long time. The zip and the pop that he had on his passes really impressed me and surprised me. How quickly, it was like a little mini cannon, you know, just a little shotgun, and the ball would just fly out. A lot of zip on the football. You got to tip your cap to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And even when he was handing off the ball, that was leadership. I mean, it was just a buzz.
He caught a two-point conversion after even. What can you say, Pete? He did it all.
Hey, what do you think, though? You know a lot of these numbers. How many quarterbacks have scored their first points other than passing or rushing in the history of the NFL?
That's a very good question. Maybe somebody. You know, I can't imagine. I was going to think, I don't know, maybe somebody scored on a I think you've stumped me. Stumped the Schwab. You've got me. But let me tell you guys, that play call works, okay? They run the two-point conversion. They throw the pass. Landry throws the, you know, reverse, throw the pass. Landry throws the pass. That doesn't work. You imagine? You know, you're 1-32 in your last 33 football games. Yeah. And you're running trick plays on a two-point convert. Hugh Jackson, I was going to say he would get fired, but evidently it's impossible for him to get fired. Because if any, you know, we did a football conference in Vegas when we spoke to you guys a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Jim Fossil was there. And Jim Fossil was one of the speakers, and that was the shade that Jim Fossil threw. He basically stated, I wish I got hired by Cleveland. He goes, I went 9-7 and I got fired.
Hey, Gabe, the card tonight isn't too bad. For Friday night, not bad at all. Of course, a lot of interest around here with UCF going up against FAU tonight in Orlando at Spectrum Stadium. Lane Kiffin, Josh Heupel. If I remember correctly, there were a lot of points in this game last year. I know UCF kind of got screwed again earlier last week. They didn't get to play North Carolina because of the hurricane. But this should be a very entertaining game tonight right off the bat.
It is, and I'm looking at the point spread here, and unless I'm missing something, I really don't fully get the point spread situation. I understand Central Florida is a juggernaut, but seems like Lane, you know, I think this is where we're going to have to take advantage of this, although to be honest with you, they've looked a little lethargic. I'm not going to hold a six-point win against Air Force over them. you know, last week was a Bethune-Cookman. I've been on the road so much, it's hard to keep up with some of these Patsy Cupcake games. But I believe it was BC and not Boston College, Bethune-Cookman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they put up 49, but they sort of stumbled out of the gate. But I think the public is just sort of locked in on, oh, man, I saw FAU get destroyed in week one against Oklahoma. This is still a good football team. To me, the number was higher earlier in the week. I see it's down to 12.5 right now as we speak. You know, I was seeing 13.5. Oh, it just popped back up to 13.
Yeah.
And the total has come down. It was 76. It's sitting at 74.5 right now. I'm going to go with the underdog, and I'm going to go with the over in this football game. Jimmy Vaccaro, who's one of the most respected odds makers in Vegas history, I actually lived in the same condo as he did in Vegas. And
wow.
So, and he's kind of he's a grumpy guy. I don't even think he likes me, but I used to ask him questions every day. So it was almost like ask Jimmy in the elevator. Hey, Jimmy, who invented teasers? Hey, Jimmy, what about this over? And he used to have a saying, though, if you bet the highest overs over and the lowest unders under, you're going to make money in the long run. So people would say, I'm not betting 74.5. Well, hey, they said it at 74.5 for a reason, guys, because there's going to be a ton of points in this game. So I think that's my play on this. I feel more comfortable with the 74.5, but I would grab the underdog here as well. And, you know, call me crazy. I've been called a hell of a lot worse. give me Illinois and Lovie Smith tonight, plus the 27.5. I'll buy a half point, get it up to 28 points. Some big numbers here. Illinois, actually, guys. Illinois are 7-1 their last eight games when getting 18 or more points. And Lovie Smith is 3-0 against the spread in his career when getting 27 or more. You got Penn State playing against Ohio State next week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they get up in this game. It's a little bit of a look at. I would get it if it's Penn State and Penn State. In Happy Valley, I'd say, all right, it's a big, you know, it's a lot, but they could kill them here. But this is on the road, guys. You know, like 27.5 points on the road. I don't want to do it. Give me the home dog. And I don't like this USC team at all. I make a lot of money picking on the USC Trojans and betting against the USC Trojans. But in this spot tonight, they're desperate. I mean, Helton might get Lane Kiffin and left in the parking lot if they don't win this game. And if you ever been to that stadium there in South Central, you don't want to get left in the parking lot. So Clay Helton better win this game tonight.
Talking with Gabe Morenci with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Talking about big point spreads. Look, I know Alabama's the best team in college football. I get that. I was impressed by Jimbo's Texas A&M team when they took on Clemson. So my question is that 26-point spread sitting there right there, is that too high or do you like it there?
You know, I'm with you, Craig, in a sense. I got burnt with that Clemson game. I thought that Clemson would go in there and sort of beat them easily. I said, you know, 48-17 type thing, 48-21 style of football game. But watching that game, didn't you always get the feeling like early in the game, it always felt like Clemson was about to pull away?
Yeah.
They're always like, all right, guys, you're up by 7. Do it again. Score again. Or you're up by 10. Score again. They just couldn't. So I'm with you, Craig. It's dangerous, but I'm not getting in front of this. Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, I'd rather go play in traffic than bet against Alabama at this point in time. At least I could touch the car. I'd sort of be in control of my fate. I tried to be cute. And I think I look like an idiot with you guys on the show 2 weeks ago when I said, I'll take Arkansas State plus the 38.5. Saban doesn't cover these games. Yeah, that's before you had a quarterback that's 26-2 coming off the bench in the fourth quarter. This is the incredible offense that they have. They're averaging 56 freaking points a game. I think 56.8 to be exact.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't get in front of this. I got burnt last week at the FanDuel. I've been hanging at the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands a lot recently, doing shows out of there and stuff too. And I bet the over in the Alabama game against Mississippi. Mm. And I'm patting myself on the back all night. I even had a couple of celebratory beers.
Yeah.
Oh, look, yeah, it's 48-6 at the half. Man, I got stuck, guys, on 69 or whatever the hell it was, 66-3. And I'm thinking to myself, one team just scored 66 points and I lost an over. Like, how did this happen? You know?
Hey, Gabe, I think one of the line mistakes of the year. And
so give me 61. Sorry, Pete. So give me over 61 in A&M, Alabama. I'm going to go over 61.
Okay, right. I love
and
that.
I would lay the points or pass, but sorry, continue.
Right. The one of the final games over the weekend is going to be 20th-ranked Oregon against number 7 Stanford in Oregon. I'm sorry. Stanford's only favored by 2.5. If I had $5 trillion in front of me right now, I'd put it on Stanford. Oregon's beaten nobody. It'd be Bowling Green, Portland State, and San Jose State. Three of the worst teams, or San Jose State might be the worst team in college football this year. How can Stanford, what is wrong with Vegas? What is wrong with them? Why is Stanford only 2.5-point favorite in this game?
You know, Stanford are one of these teams that I talk about this all the time, Pete, perception and reality. And perception and reality is never the same thing. I got into an argument once with somebody who told me, you know, LeVar Ball is doing great business and LeVar Ball is rich. And I said, LeVar Ball's an idiot. So LeVar Ball cost his son like millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars in shoe deals. He's actually like a detriment. It's sort of like, you know, it's like you guys. I'm sure you have people that think, hey, come on, Pete and Craig, lend me money. You guys are big ESPN stars.
Yeah.
Right? So there's perception and reality all the time. And people just don't think much of Stanford. I don't know. They think like it's, you know, they're one of these programs. They don't talk smack. They're workmanlike. You know, they have star players. They produce. It's amazing because they produce, you know, first-round NFL draft picks on a yearly basis, essentially, over the years right now. But the public doesn't buy in. You're right. The public, you know, ooh, Oregon hasn't won a big game in years. I think, you know, I don't understand the crystal ball hire. We'll see how it works out. We're crystal ball there. But to me, Stanford is just a nut and bolts football team, a lunch pail team that I like betting on a weekly basis. A sleeper game, though, tomorrow, guys, is LSU. Yeah. Everybody's been on LSU bandwagon suddenly, and I was on them last week. I'm sorry I couldn't be with you guys last week, mm-hmm. but I was on the Tigers last week getting the 10.5 against Auburn, but I think it's kind of a flat spot with Louisiana Tech rolling into Death Valley, actually. We've seen LSU struggle. I think they lost to Troy, actually, outright in a spot like this. Yeah. We've seen them struggle laying a boatload of points to Sun Belt teams, in-state rival. You know, La Tech's got this game circled. Meanwhile, LSU's just thinking of this as a practice. Could be a little bit of a flat spot and pretty ballsy, but I gave you guys Kentucky, if you remember. I like Kentucky against Florida, and people say, oh, you're nuts. And they ended up winning the game outright. I didn't take them on the money line. But I'm going to go back to the well, man. I think this Kentucky team is very, very good. I think Stoops is people just don't respect him very much. And they think of Kentucky as a basketball school. But this Kentucky team can play football, and they're getting double digits. Well, 9.5, maybe 10 if you can find it. I respect Mississippi State and what Moorhead's bringing to the table there. But I think this Kentucky team getting this many points at home is a value pick.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I think Pete's been with you all along on that one. Gabe Morenci with us, Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. All right, so Pete is a Patriots apologist. I'm a native Detroiter. We've got Patriots Lions. Instead of our hearts and our heads and all that nonsense, I need you to be the voice of reason. How's this game going to go on Sunday night?
Well, I got to be honest. I'm really starting. Hate is a strong word that tossed around too much in today's society. But what's that song? I don't hate you, but I really, really don't like you.
Something like that, yeah.
It's like the Patriots for me. Guys, I had the Patriots in a super contest last week, in the Vegas super contest. I swear, Pete, every time I take your boys, they screw me, man. I swear.
Well, I would have told you don't take them in week two.
They were covering against the Eagles. They were up by like 17 or something. They ended up like getting backdoored. I always get pinched, man, when I take the Patriots. But to me, this feels like a... You don't want to get in front of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady coming off a loss. The Detroit Lions, I don't think this is not going to be pretty for Patricia in Detroit. Yeah. I think they like Jim Caldwell a lot. I think the players basically have already quit on Patricia for the most part. He's going to need a complete redo. And Belichick's not going to let this guy, you know, Belichick's not getting schooled by Matt Patricia. I would lay the points or pass, but the number's kind of high. I want to keep it in your backyard, actually, here with the Miami Dolphins and the entire state of Florida. How about the state of Florida being 6-0 to start off the year? And can the Dolphins win again? It's, you know, really? Am I going to bet on the Dolphins again? I've been on them the two consecutive weeks here, and I've been telling people this, guys. This is, once again, perception of reality. Ask Joe Sixpack on the street what they think of Ryan Tannehill. I did this on my show last week. So what do you think of Ryan Tannehill? Oh, he sucks. Terrible. Got a hot girlfriend, but he sucks. Yeah. I said, what's Ryan Tannehill's record in his last 10 games that he's played in?
9-1.
4-6, 3-7. Yeah, I don't know. How about 9-1, jackass? He's 9-1 as a starter in his last 10 football games. There's perception. That's what I always talk about, perception and reality. So let people think and, like, the public run around with their their blind perceptions when there's reality. But it's tough to win 3 weeks in and cover 3 weeks in a row in the NFL. But I really like this spot for the Dolphins. Yeah, the Raiders played on Monday Night Football. And then, you know, short week, they go up there to Denver in the altitude, play their hearts out, fall short. But that was a tough, emotional division game. You know, Gruden wanted that one even more than the original Monday Nighter. He loves to, you know, he would have loved to beat Denver. Couldn't get it done, draining game. Now they have to play in the heat on an early start. And out of all these West Coast teams, guys, that play 1 o'clock games, the Raiders have always sort of had the toughest time with this. And, you know, I get that every team is different, but I'll trust the history. They're 5-21 straight up in their last 26 1 o'clock games.
Wow.
So, you know, I'll take my chance for that. I'm laying 3 points. Can the Dolphins win this game? I think that they can.
That's excellent. Gabe Morenci from SportsRage.org and at SportsRage. Gabe, always love it, man. Have a great weekend and good luck to you.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, guys.
All right, good. Very good. Always look for this. One of the favorite parts of the week. Oh, talk great. About that. All right, any thoughts on that? You know the number, 239-337-ESPN. We'll come back. We'll update you on Tiger Woods and how he's doing on the Tour Championship. And I got to talk about these beers and these breweries. I've been hearing Chris talk about advertising work. I've been hearing Chris mention them during his Sports Center updates. Mm-hmm. I got to find out what's going on with all this. So we'll get everybody squared away. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Call or text us at 337-3776 and listen wherever you are on the 99.3 ESPN app. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. Don't forget tonight, South Fort Myers taking up Palmetto Ridge, the Southwest Florida High School football game of the week. We spent a lot of hour with our Pixigan picks and Gabe Morenci and whatnot. What's been going on with Tiger Woods? He's been up and like within one stroke of the lead or having the lead most of the day in the FedEx Cup.
Right now he is one back of Justin Rose, who if Justin Rose goes on to win this, he'll take home the $10 million
yeah.
for the FedEx Cup. So he's Tiger's six under, Justin Rose is seven under. Justin Rose is one hole ahead of Tiger.
Okay.
Tiger right now has a 20-foot birdie putt.
All right.
You can knock and DeChambeau has thrown a club today and spiked a club.
Yes. I saw them both.
Well, it's just his putter. It's not an important one.
Oh. I thought one was an iron near the green, but maybe it was a putter. But yeah, he's been very upset. Well, he's been marvelous over the last month, and he's just stinking out loud here today. So, all right, coming up, we're going to make fun of Hugh Jackson, open up the phones again for Browns fans to celebrate.
Yeah.
And I will tell you which NFL team now has the longest losing streak in the National Football League. You may be surprised. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.